in the Sidra, in Perek Chavtes Yud Gimel, in Parshas Nitzavim, Hashem said, well, Moshe says on behalf of Hashem, V'lo itchem levadchem anochi koreses abris hazos v'esal hazos. It's not with you, you the generation in Arvos Moav that are about to cross the Jordan River after Moshe, it's the last day of his life after he passes. Not with you alone is this covenant, okay, in this oath. Oh no. Kies asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lifnei Hashem. I'm sorry, lifnei Hashem elokeinu. Not only with those who are here, but ve'es asher einenu po imanu hayom. It's with every member of Jewish history. The Rav talked about, I use an analogy, a corporate entity. Klal Yisrael, the idea of an halacha, ein tzibur meis. Klal Yisrael is a totality throughout the generations. It's an entity that transcends any group of individuals. So this covenant is made not only with those standing there, but with the rest of Jewish history, with all those who will come afterwards. Listen to what the Rav said. A covenant or union in antiquity, it was not limited to the immediate parties involved in the conclusion of the contract. It bound together future generations as well. Biblical man would assume obligations, reach agreements, and commit himself to certain norms also on behalf of unborn generations. And the example the Rav gave is the covenant between Avram and Avimelech, between Avram's descendants and Avimelech's descendants. Okay, in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. The covenant was the medium through which the generations stretched their hands out to each other across the abyss of time. We have never lost contact with our heroes and ancestors who lived thousands of years before us. Distant events address themselves to us directly. There is in their appeal a note of immediacy and urgency. We experience their full emotional impact upon us, and somehow we identify ourselves with them. Avraham to us is not some mythical personality enveloped by the shadows of a dead world, but he is a living person. He is tangible and real, whose existence is tied into ours, whose deeds have acute relevance for us. He addresses himself to us. We answer him and ask him questions. The atmosphere is not one of a cold, detached archaeological study and discovery, but it's one that permeates with warmth and intimacy, with personal charm, with tenseness and expectation. The same applies to Yosef, to Moshe, and to others. The past somehow is not gone. It is here, converging upon the present and submerging in it. Bygone events, they find their duplicate appearance in contemporary history, in current events. Though once upon a time, quote-unquote, it recurs continuously. The then, quote-unquote, reemerges in the now all over again, and it finds therein its fulfillment. Only today the meaning of yesteryear's occurrences becomes clear, and the event of yesterday is woven into the texture of today. The halacha, it has developed this peculiar time awareness. We are enjoined to rejoice on Pesach, not for the sake of celebrating an ancient exodus, but mainly because this drama is being reenacted time and again. We observe our own liberation. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. Right? In each and every generation, it's as if it's happening to you, to me. Every year on Tisha B'Av, we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the halachic dictum has prescribed a veilus mourning. After this distant event, it's equal in scope and intensity to the emotional distress caused by the untimely death of a beloved member of the family. I mean, I'll give you an example. You have the concept of Yud Beis Chodesh from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh. Then the Minhag Ashkenaz as we go into a modality of Shloshim from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av. Then at Tisha B'Av, it's a function of Misha Mesa Mutlafanov. It's a state of aninus, right? The kinos are the hespedim. We're reliving the tragedies. It's an experience of Shiva. So what's happening is, it's not some history lesson. This is me speaking. It's not a history lesson. We are, the way that we relive the Seder, we relive the Churban. We relive the tragedies throughout Jewish history. Just to repeat what he said. Halachic dictum has prescribed mourning after this distant event, equal in scope and intensity to the emotional distress caused by the untimely death of a beloved member of the family. Personally feeling the presence of a 1,900-year-old calamity is required by the halacha. And that, of course, is the analysis of the Gemara in Masechta Tanis, and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph and Lamed Amud Beis. And this the Rav wrote about in a work that we have called Halachic Morality. In a talk that he gave, he said something in a different modality, but the same idea, that the covenant is not only with them, the covenant is with us. Ki es asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lifnei Hashem Elokecha, ve es asher einenu po imanu hayom. He said like this, grandfathers and grandchildren, though members of different generations, they're part of one fraternity. What is that fraternity? The Masorah community. Jews of the past, the present, and the future are united in their commitment to the divine teachings of the Torah and to the historical destiny of the Jew. One collegial fraternity exists of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Rabbi Akiva, of the Rambam, of the Vilna Gaon, of the Baal Shem Tov and others, joining hands with grandfathers, parents, and children of all generations. As a child is born, he is absorbed into the Masorah community. He will hopefully speak our language, study our texts, share our solemnities, dream our dreams, and adopt our ideals. Rashi will be his lifelong companion in Torah study, as he is ours. In this fraternity of the committed, there need not be any generation gap, any splintering of ranks, but rather a sharing of ideas and ideals which span and unite countless generations. Each newborn child enters an extended historical family where he will be reared by the wisdom and the teachings of the great Chachmei HaMasorah, the great Torah personalities, all interested in his spiritual development. When it is achieved, a Masorah relationship between grandfather and grandchild contains an emotional intensity and an intellectual closeness that in some ways transcends the parent-child relationship. Psychologically, one would not expect a deep identification between two individuals whose great disparity of years could easily result in alienation. Yet grandparents, more so than parents, are sensitive to the transiency of time and to the pressing need to assure the perpetuation of one's lifelong principles. The child is far more than a biological extension. The child embodies one's hopes for the spiritual continuity. If a bond between old and young is achieved among Torah Jews, it is due to the singular awareness of a Masorah community in which past and present generations are contemporaries. Distance in time is bridged, and divergence in outward style is rendered irrelevant. This is in sharp contrast to the secular scene, where generations too often confront each other as cultural antagonists. So the Rav talked about this theme many times in many places, and that ultimately is what has bound us as a Jewish people. We're all a member of one fraternity, of one Masorah community. Rashi is not just an historical figure. He holds us by the hand. And if Rashi holds us by the right hand, the Ramban is holding our left hand. And there's this rendezvous as we wrestle with our ideals, our values, as we take those values and we move them forward in each and every generation. The covenant was not just made with a group of Jews in the plains of Moab some 3,000 years ago. I'm sorry, from 3,500 years ago. No. The covenant is alive, it's real. And the idea of Ein Tzibor Meis, the concept of Klal Yisrael, you know, it's this living entity that transcends any one group of individuals, is something that has kept the Jewish people, kept our values, and kept our spirit throughout the millennia.